It's easy to blame the parents. I mean, we hear about a young person making all sorts of bad choices, and we immediately wonder, you know, what's going on at home? And yet there are those cases where children who have the best care and guidance consistently make the wrong choices and consistently do bad things. Richard Friedman, professor of clinical psychiatry at Weill Cornell Medical College and longstanding contributor to the New York Times, notes, "For years, mental health professionals were trained to see children as mere products of their environment, who were intrinsically good until influenced otherwise. Where there was chronic bad behavior, it was clear there must be a bad parent behind it. But, and this is a big but, says Friedman, while I do not mean to let bad parents off the hook, the fact remains that perfectly decent parents can produce toxic children. Some children just don't respond to the love and care that they are shown. The same thing could be said about romantic relationships. When an acquaintance starts complaining about their partner's misdeeds, it's easy to start wondering what they are not saying. It takes two to tangle, we tell ourselves, and we start wondering about the acquaintance's own contribution to the dysfunctional relationship. And yet most of us have run into toxic adults. There are people out there who, despite receiving love and kindness, will consistently hurt those around them. Toxic kids, toxic adults. In today's Old Testament lesson, we hear a song about a vineyard. Now, the NIV's language makes it a little confusing to understand who's speaking, so let me give you this introduction from the Good News Translation. "Listen while I sing you this song, a song of my friend and his vineyard." Today, the prophet Isaiah comes before us as a troubadour, a singer sharing a love song, telling a story about his friend and that friend's winery. Now, the wine grower is diligent. No effort is too great to expend. A very fertile hill is chosen. The vineyard is dug and cleared of stones. Choice vines are planted, and both a watchtower and a wine vat are constructed. All of this attention is performed with one hope, that that excellent grapes will be produced. But, to his great dismay, the project fails. The grapes grow wild, just as if the garden had been left alone. The exemplary efforts of the wine grower have no effect whatsoever. In the voice of his friend, the troubadour then asks the listeners, "Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for that vineyard than I have already done?" Given the description, the response is pretty clear. You can't blame the wine grower for this one. He did everything he could do. The problem is with the grapes. Of course, this isn't a story about grapes, right? This song is a love song. The vineyard is a metaphor, and a common metaphor at the time of its telling. All the listeners would know that the singer was telling a story about people, not grapes. The wild grapes these people would be imagining would be the toxic people they've encountered that continually reject the kindnesses of others. But as the song continues, it reveals itself to be a trap. It's a trap. It's like that story that the prophet Nathan told King David. It's designed to raise the hackles of the listener, to raise their concern about justice and injustice, and then force those same listeners to recognize that they are the guilty ones that are being talked about. Everything is disclosed in the first part of verse 7. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And so Isaiah's listeners are the wild grapes, the ungrateful partners, the toxic people that the troubadour was singing about. God did everything that was possible to do for them, but in the end, all they did was spurn his love. And how does God know this? What is the charge that is made against them? Well, just look at the second part of verse 7. God looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Given all the love that God had lavished on them, God expected them to be kind to each other, especially the marginalized. And this is really contextualized in Isaiah. In Isaiah, preaching about justice is paramount, and one keeps on running into people in need, specifically the widow and the orphan and the poor, the powerless in society, those who have no clout. That's the people that Isaiah, that the Lord is concerned about. God wanted the people to respond to his love by protecting the powerless, by showing them attention and care. Today's song, today's story is a trap. It's meant to force those people of Israel to evaluate their lives and weigh their concern for the poor. But as Scripture, it also asks us how we are responding to God's diligent care for us. Are we the wild grapes, the ungrateful partners, the toxic people that this song is singing about? Is our faith simply about receiving, about gathering in all of God's good gifts? Or do we take time to care for, to give attention to the weakest among us? The other day, I had the privilege of visiting one of our shut-ins. We started off by talking about Remembrance Day, and pretty soon she was telling me stories about her father. She mentioned that before heading off to serve in the army, her dad had been a butcher in the Dunbar area of Vancouver. She told me that her dad let many people take meat on credit with the full expectation that he would never be paid. She said that the family all understood that they had to take care of others. It seems that at least for her family, living as Christians involved more than thoughts and prayers. And as I heard her tell this story, I started wondering, how many of us think like this today? When we encounter a person on the streets who's homeless, do we judge their situation as our collective responsibility or their failure? When you hear yet another Christmas appeal, and pretty soon your mailboxes are going to be full of them, concerns about the needy in our nation or the needy overseas, do you get annoyed thinking, everyone is just trying to pick my pocket? Somehow forgetting the one who lavished you with all those abilities and resources in the first place? Martin Luther said, "It's true that we are justified by faith alone without works, but I speak of the true faith, which after it is justified, does not snore lazily, but is active in love." So when it comes to showing love to others, and I'm not talking our friends and our family, the powerless, love to others, the marginalized, would you say that we are diligent or lazy? Are we responding with delight to God's goodness, or are we simply wild grapes that really deserve no protection, no cultivation, no more care. History tells us that God judged the people of Israel for their refusal to respond to God's love with a concern for justice. They didn't listen to Isaiah. They just went on living in the ways that they wanted to live. And so, just like the northern tribes, they eventually succumbed to the domination of the Assyrian Empire. Following this, they were sent into exile in Babylon. God warned them through Isaiah, and then God judged them because they weren't willing to turn around. The good news, though, is that God didn't forget them. God continued to remain faithful. By God's grace, vines and trees that are cut down can grow again. And from that stump of the nation of Israel, God would raise up a shoot that would respond to God's love with faithfulness and fruitfulness. Jesus would delight in the love of his Father and would inaugurate a new kingdom marked by justice and righteousness. As foretold in Isaiah 11, 3 and 4, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. Jesus is the true vine, that productive grapevine that the wine grower has been trying to cultivate. Without him, we will remain wild grapes. But with him, we will be abundantly fruitful. As he told his disciples, those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So may we remain in Christ. By his Spirit, may we do justice. And that's how the Bible talks about it, by the way. It doesn't just talk about justice. It talks about doing justice. May we do justice and care for the powerless. May we not be ungrateful partners, toxic people, wild grapes, but God's fruitful and abundant vineyard. Thanks be to God. Amen.